podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses. Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Dirt Ends Break continues.
So your wife tells you something. I need to know, where are we going with this?
Andy Dirt Johnson.
She said, you know what I think we should contemplate buying? She wants to put our kid on a leash.
Brandon Sprague.
It's like seeing a tiger in a zoo. You just feel awful for it.
More Dirt and Sprague.
Look, she's an unbelievable mom. She carries all the weight in our family. I have to preface all this because she says I only throw her under the bus on the air.
So you just threw her under
on the Fan Sports Network.
Hey, welcome back in. Hour number two. Dirt and Sprague here, Portland Sports Leader, 105.1 FM, The Fan, 1080 AM, the Odyssey app. Live on YouTube. Good morning, everybody.
What are we doing here?
We're doing a lot here today. Sprager will be back, I believe, on Wednesday. I think we confirmed that
with the brand man. Wednesday. So I think he travels back tomorrow.
Probably correct. We don't communicate that stuff very well. So according to the brand man, he will be back on Wednesday's program.
And then we lock in.
Lock in until baby
time.
Comes.
Preseason dirty poll will be coming.
Preseason dirty poll starts on Thursday, ladies and gentlemen.
Okay.
Starts on Thursday. Do people understand that we are less than 2 weeks away from the start of football season now?
I know.
A week from Saturday.
29th?
Yes. We start in Dublin,
Ireland. We will have for
9
you.
9 a.m.
I have to look and see which signal it's. Think it's on the Fan. I believe we will be bringing you the San Jose State USC game.
Yes, brother. That's what I'm talking about.
So right there, a big nooner. So right after the Sports Saturday boys,
right out of the
11:30 pregame noon kick.
Ooh, let's go!
If you're driving around, look, it's your last weekend, kind of before it goes hardcore football. So we understand you're going around.
I get it.
You know, maybe a quick jaunt to the coast. Maybe you're doing all your back to school errands with the kiddos.
Right. Get all your shopping done.
So
I feel like a lot of kids go back to school next. Is it next week kids go back to school?
Because
I think a lot of people go back before Labor Day, don't they?
So yeah, we had the family birthday party yesterday.
Right.
So my sister-in-law teaches in the Beaverton School District. Kids go to the Lake Oswego School District.
Different calendars, different timelines.
So Beaverton starts next week. Before Labor Day.
Yeah.
Lake Oswego starts September 9th, after Labor Day.
Whoa. That's a big difference.
There's a big difference there.
You get one more week of summer, man. That's a different ball game right there.
Well,
I will say, as somebody who has got a lot of kids in the neighborhood, they're all certainly.
I don't know when Portland Public Schools begins.
I think they begin before Labor Day.
Okay.
Because we went out to dinner for my mom's birthday on Thursday of last week, Friday, whatever day it was. And I asked the nieces and nephews, when are you guys going back to school? And they all said basically in like a week. So I think they start before Labor Day. As somebody with a kid who is not in full-time school, I am eagerly awaiting the other kids returning to school. Parks open up. There's wide open spaces everywhere. It's less chaotic in the middle of the day. Love the kids. Glad that they had a good summer, but come on. Time to go back. Couple of quick points here. We'll get to the cafe in a moment as we're just pulling into the parking lot right now, waiting for to find a spot. We're kind of perusing the parking lot right now, trying to find our spot. Couple of things. We need to react to this, okay? So where did this go? Somebody calling him the Charles Barkley of guards. I think that's a little disrespectful to Charles Barkley, but that's just my two cents. Charles Barkley, to me, is one of the all-time great basketball players. And Damian Lillard certainly is one of the all-time great scorers and shooters.
Right.
But Barkley was just on a little bit of a different level. But again, an example of a guy who was unable to win a championship in his career. A Chiefs fan is chiming in saying, this is not true. We don't do this with Josh Allen. And I couldn't disagree more. Like, I think if anybody with a brain could acknowledge how good Josh Allen is and how talented he is, and he played a ton, by the way, in their preseason game this weekend. We'll get to that.
Exactly.
And the takeaways of their stadium. But what's the question and the criticism every year? They lose in the playoffs in Denver last year.
Can't
win the big one. Mahomes is out of your way.
Go
he still couldn't do it.
Go back and think about the perception of Peyton Manning before he finally broke
through. Like, we all knew he was good, but
Marino,
a huge but at the end of the sentence.
Dan Fouts.
Yes. He's not he calls him the quarterback of the decade. I think that's just a salty Chiefs fan who's trying to do the underdog thing and get out of here, dude. But I do think that exists for Josh Allen, and we do it to him very regularly. A couple of more here we need to react to. Somebody said, modern basketball for professional basketball, championship or bust. Who comes up with these statements? When has players, owners not thought it's not about championship or bust? It's not about the players or the coaches or the teams not wanting to win championships. Of course, that's the goal and the mindset of everybody. How many all-stars did Damian Lillard play with in his career in Portland?
Let's see.
Who were not like a previous version of them was an all-star.
Right.
They were an all-star that year. How many? Because I know the answer.
I think it's just, I think CJ got in one
CJ
year.
Was never an All-Star.
Oh.
Never an All-Star. He was always
so
All-Star
then it was
caliber.
LaMarcus?
It was literally LaMarcus Aldridge.
And that was very early in his career.
He played with LaMarcus Aldridge for 2 years.
Yeah.
And then he walked in free agency. And so that is the, it's not about the coaches or the management or the owner. Like, of course they want to win championships. Of course that is the ultimate goal. It's about the idea of context. Like, one listener trying to proclaim Terry Porter was a better player because he went basically because he was a better leader and they won playoff series. Like, this is literally the point that I'm making, that you're making my argument for me. Terry Porter is not a better basketball player than Damian Lillard. You can say he's better defensively, maybe he's a better pass guy, sure. But if you take the overall scope of things, Damian Lillard is a better basketball player than Terry Porter. What did Terry Porter have when he was in Portland? Pretty
he
damn good team around
Clyde,
him, huh?
Buck Williams, yeah.
Duckworth, Cliff, yeah. Kersey.
Kersey.
Pretty damn good team, huh?
Although
pretty good
Terry
roster.
I will tell you. He could have put up Damian, like, shooting
of
numbers.
Course, he probably thinks that if he needed to.
He would have been allowed to take that many threes.
And guess what? He would have. He would have scored more points. And if he didn't have talent around him, they wouldn't have gone to two NBA finals. This is literally the point that I'm making. If you surround somebody with better if you put Damian Lillard in Golden State and you swapped him with Steph Curry, does he have an NBA championship?
Probably.
I tend to think that he would as well. That's the argument that I'm making about not respecting somebody's career. And I think people calling Terry Porter the better player is almost proving the point in a certain way. If he was certainly Terry Porter is a great player, man.
That's just a generation.
This is not an intent of like, let's take a dump on Terry Porter. I love Terry Porter. I got no issues with him other than his Pilots tenure. It's just like, that's the argument that guys are propped up because their teams accomplish things because they have better talent surrounding them. And Lillard had to lean on Al Farouq Aminu and Mo Harkless in a playoff series, okay? And Myers Leonard, okay? In the Western Conference Finals.
He was blessed, though.
Let's pull into the restaurant, shall we? God. I still have those shorts. I still have my blessed shorts. I haven't gotten rid of them yet.
Those in on opening day, opening night, Wednesday, October 21st.
Should I wear those bad boys? Stand up in the middle of the show, just show off my blessed package
assuming
to the cameras on YouTube?
Assuming you're back with the show at that point, you may still be out.
Ooh, good point. I probably will not be here opening night. That's a great point. Unless the baby comes early, then I'll definitely be back.
If you come at the end of September,
then we'll for sure be
Then hopefully you will be back at that point. That also signals everything went smoothly. And
Yes. And everything's going okay. What are we in the mood for breakfast today, Swag? I did not think of a special. This is too much pressure.
Ooh, well, you know,
what sounds good to you today?
There's a great brunch spot in Bend. I had Cajun Benedict with andouille sausage, Gulf prawns, bell pepper, wilted spinach, and Cajun hollandaise.
I am in. Fantastic.
So good.
Yeah.
Skillet potatoes.
Do you have a mimosa, Bloody Mary? What did we go
I
with?
I did not because I was driving right after there.
Look at you being responsible. Good for you.
A lot of coffee.
A lot of coffee.
We did enjoy ourselves at the concert the night before.
a little hungover the next day.
A lot of coffee.
Well, that sounds fantastic. I'm going to go ahead and order three of those and take two to go. Let's get going.
Swing, drive, well hit right. Suzuki back. And it's gone. It is gone. Three homers for Baez. Major league history at Wrigley Field.
That happened over the weekend. And if you did not see it, it's kind of one of the fun angles that you talk about with a sport like baseball is that any day you turn on a game, you never know if you're going to see something that you've never seen before.
Exactly.
Let me give you a little bit of a history lesson here, okay?
Major League Baseball, they go back records approaching 150 years now.
The National League is 150 years old.
Yes.
Major League Baseball itself as a sport and an entity is 123 years old.
Mm-hmm.
That's how long the sport has been around and the National League has been around.
Yes.
What Joshua Baez did this weekend. Does he go by Josh or Joshua?
I don't know.
Okay. Whatever we want to call him. Joshua Baez.
Whatever Chip Baez. Carey says he goes by.
Did something that we've never seen before in the history of the sport.
Yes.
In 150 years, we have never seen. And what he did was make his Major League debut. By the way, those baby blue Cardinal jerseys, oh, my God.
Yeah.
Sex personified.
It's
just beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful uniforms. Makes his Major League debut in Wrigley Field on top of it. So it's a rivalry game. One of the most historic venues in the sport.
Yes.
And he hit a home run in each of his first three plate appearances.
Yes.
Nobody has ever done that in the history of Major League Baseball. And it was like, I didn't really know that was going on. You know me, I'm not following baseball too closely right now. Like, I'll dive in when the playoffs begin and all that. even this popped into my algorithm, and I'm like, oh my God, that's crazy. 150 years, nobody's ever done that before. Josh Baez, 3 home runs in his first Major League Baseball game. Really cool to see.
In his first 3 at-bats.
In his first 3 at-bats,
he had another one. I mean, that would have been...
If he would have hit 4 in your debut, are you kidding me?
Yes. Stuff.
That would have broken the record. I mean, he already did break the record book.
Yeah.
Going four in your first 4 at-bats? Nobody's ever touching that record. Really cool. By the way, side note on Major League Baseball.
Tommy John,
RIP. Would you want to be named after an injury?
Well, I think the history that it turned out to be mm-hmm. and how significant it was in being able for pitchers to continue to have careers, I think he appreciates that.
He had a long – I mean, he was
I mean,
a,
no, you would hope that you're not, you know, known for that. But right. I think understanding what it meant to pitchers being able to not have their careers pretty much be over if they suffered that injury.
Right. It's not what it used to be anymore.
Then I think he takes pride in the fact that he and his doctors and his team were able to, you know, be pioneers in that.
It is crazy to think about –
piece of evolution.
Careers of yesteryear. You can still see this occasion, like LeBron's doing a little bit of this in the NBA. Brady did it in the NFL. He pitched until he was 46 years old.
Yeah, he did.
He pitched all the way until the year I was born, 1989. 26 years in the big
leagues. He was Jamie Moyer before Jamie Moyer.
Like, just forever, man. That's remarkable. But certainly most known for the surgery.
Yeah.
And he, I think, 82 years old.
He should be in the Hall of Fame, by the way.
Is he in the Hall of Fame? Is he not in the Hall of Fame?
If you go back and look at his numbers.
Interesting. I mean, he had a couple of 20 wins. The tough part with guys like that who pitched for so long, his career wins were 288.
Mm-hmm.
And when you pitch for 26 years, he had, let me see how many 21 seasons he had. Three. He had 3 21 seasons. Dodgers in 77, Yankees in 79, Yankees in 80. He was 22-9 that year. Yeah, that's a little surprising that he's not in the, with 288 wins, 3 21 seasons. Did he win a Cy Young?
I don't think
he did. Not win a Cy Young. But he was an all-star a couple of times. Remarkable career. Certainly most known for the surgery.
Yeah.
And the, you know, the Tommy John surgery is one of the most known things now in all of sports in terms of injuries. And the Mariners, by the way, took 2 out of 3 from the Astros. So maybe
the Mariners
you're alive.
Kept their season alive.
Maybe you're alive. Maybe you got a little bit of hope.
So they're 4 back of the division. I think they're 2.5 back in the wild card.
Okay. You're in the mix.
But the homestand is not a little dicey with the Cubs and Phillies.
And they still got to go to Milwaukee first, right? Isn't it 2 Milwaukee and then home against the Cubs and Phillies?
I think that's right. Let
me
go look.
I think they're on the – but they won't get the Miz because he just pitched against the Dodgers. By the way, he's a stud. Also, I have not seen a lot of Miz interviews, Mizorowski for the Brewers.
Yeah.
Just an all-time nerd. He reminds me of Mendoza when you hear him talk. And maybe you want that in your starting pitcher. He certainly is dominant. He's become the best pitcher in baseball.
It's not even a debate.
He was awesome.
It was not a good weekend.
He had the bases loaded. And
am I justified in hitting the panic button
yet? No, you're an idiot. But Mizorowski's really good. Are you still in first place, Swag?
They don't have the best record.
Okay. Oh, you don't have the best record in baseball?
They are.
Well, time to panic. You don't have the best record in baseball?
Having to play in a wild card
series.
Oh,
my goodness. You might have to play in a wild card series? It's definitely time to panic. You're going to play the Brewers in the wild card series, right?
No, Brewers have the best record.
That's right. So you'll get some riffraff below 500 team. If you can't beat the Arizona Diamondbacks in a 3-game wild card series.
The Phillies.
Oh, quit complaining over there. God, you're miserable.
What's up, y'all? Welcome to the channel. Yo, today's going to be a very special one. Today we are Stewart Castle Country Club here in Scotland. We're here with some of my ride or die brothers from 2016 NBA champion Cleveland Cavaliers. You could turn the camera around and pan. We got J.R. Smith there. Oh, the big dog Channing there. Richard Jefferson there. Tristan Thompson. And Kevin Love as well.
So this came out over the weekend, and most people probably don't care, but it does pertain to us here locally because he was in our state this weekend.
Yes.
He was here.
He was here.
LeBron James has launched a golf YouTube channel.
Is he going to be now like it was with Taco Tuesday, like he discovered Taco Tuesday?
Is this going to be
like he discovers all these golf courses? It's like, those of us that play golf know about all of these for 100 years. That's going to drive me effing nuts. And it's going to be, I'm going to be so jealous. It's like, God, this bastard picked up the game like 2 days
when
ago.
When he gets good, it's going to piss me
off. And now he's playing everywhere.
He was in, the reason I brought that up, well, it's just interesting, like, an athlete having a YouTube stream of a different sport is very, it's very unique. I don't know if that's ever happened. Maybe it has.
I don't know. Does Mookie Betts have a bowling, you know, thing?
I don't know. Does he have a bowling YouTube channel? People well, have, like, athletes will have, like,
he could be on the professional bowling
He's
tour.
A very good bowler, for sure.
Yeah.
Like, athletes will do their Twitch streams where they'll, like, talk and do that kind of stuff, but this is a little bit different because you're filming content and you're...
Yeah.
You're doing a different sport. So he launched his channel. But the reason I brought it up was he was in Bandon Dunes this weekend.
He was also at Pumpkin Ridge.
LeBron was at Pumpkin Ridge, too?
Yes.
I did not see that.
Yes.
He went out and played Pumpkin Ridge this weekend?
He was at Pumpkin.
He must have been doing a Nike thing.
Something with Nike.
Yeah.
Then he was at Pumpkin.
I will always remember them. Being there for the Live thing is one of the most mind-blowing golf experiences I've ever had. Of just, I can't believe this is actually a league and they're playing music everywhere. Everything is really nice. And there's Phil Mickelson on the third hole at Pumpkin Ridge. This is
in
really
shorts.
In shorts with techno music. Like, it just, you're kind of, it melted your brain a little bit. Like, there's Dustin Johnson, there's Paulina.
I didn't go to that because I had been to Women's U.S. Opens and stuff out there. Obviously,
Tiger won there years ago.
I didn't go to the amateur out there. But the LPGA Tour played on the public side for a number of years. And then we had the Winco.
The Corn Ferry. We were out there forever,
Those were great.
It was always a ton of fun to be out there.
But, yeah, to be out there, that Live experience would have been...
Walking around Paulina, or not Paulina, what's... is that that right name? Paulina Gretzky. Thank you. And her, like, nine-man security team, all dressed in black head to toe. It was such a, like, where am I? There's Brooks Koepka. What is happening right now? Yeah. That's great. Seeing him, like, you're just a member showing up to play.
There you go.
You're at a bay at the range at Pumpkin Ridge.
How would you like to be? Like, if he didn't have his, like, he was just a single getting on.
Hey, you got.
You're ready to go.
Okay, for one. That would be incredible.
You guys mind if LeBron plays with you?
He seems like he has a lot of fun with it. Hey, I'm all about. There's this argument at times that we need to not grow the game of golf because there's too many douchebags involved. But I want to grow. Like, dude, Big
but
Ten,
I hope
come
he,
play.
And this is where those guys that come into it, you know, whatever, have some proper respect. And if they can help to, no, this is, you need to do it. You need to respect the game and what the game is all about. Obviously, the game needs to evolve, too.
Right.
But, yeah, there's some things out there. So, you know.
It's a lot of it's fun, man. I don't know how much of his content I'll watch, but I thought it was cool that he was in the state of Oregon playing golf this weekend. Let's see. Do we have we got time for one more, don't we?
Sure.
Let's end on a fun note. How about that? Let's have you ever wondered what it's like
to pretend
to be Justin Herbert pretending to be Justin Herbert? What about have you ever wondered what it's like to be Derwin James pretending to be Derwin James?
I had my most fun playing any sport by pretending I was a pro player. You know, if it was football, it was real young. I mean, Dan Fouts, Bert Jones, Rick Leach, hockey, Gordie Howe, Bobby Orr, basketball, George Gervin, Finger Roland, baseball, Mark Fidridge. I mean, one season I was Al Harbosky, you know.
that needs to be Al Harbosky.
There is the most fun you can have is when you're a pro player, now you're pretending to be yourself, you know, and that these guys are able to find that out, you know. I mean, yeah, there's a lot of kids pretending they're Justin Herbert. Who could possibly have it better than be Justin Herbert pretending to be Justin Herbert or Derwin James pretending to be Derwin James? But man, there was a lot of guys finding that out for the first time, you know, playing in this game, and I really felt like they were having fun out there.
Al Harbosky needs to be a drop. Just like throw that one at Sprague when he's back on Wednesday. Just throw it on the board. We'll play that at a random point. Out of context, Jim Harbaugh and Al. Yeah. Look, Jim Harbaugh is the gift that keeps on giving. Any Jim Harbaugh content I am here for, he's
whoever
hilarious.
Does an aggregation thing of all like the Harbaugh-isms and stuff, it has to be titled, Being Jim Harbaugh after like Being John Malkovich, that movie.
Why? It's one of the reasons why, like, their behind-the-scenes content of him and McDaniel there are just, it's hilarious. Those two people, they seem like they could not be more opposites.
If they're both still there, if McDaniel doesn't get a full-time
head coaching gig
offered,
for this year.
If they're there next year, please, Hard Knocks, go.
Yeah, that would be great, would it not? I just need more Harbaugh content. He's hilarious. And that was an all-time quote about growing up pretending to be guys.
All I think of is the Replacements. Yeah. Franklin Daniels. I think that was the receiver.
That is a great point. If you have, by the way, one thing I forgot to bring up last week, because this Hard Knock season has been really good with Seattle. It's been a lot of fun, and McDonald's been a really good character. We'll talk a little bit about their first preseason game coming up later in the show. There was a hilarious moment where it was, I think it was McDonald sitting in on a quarterback meeting, and it was Sam Darnold telling a story about bumping into Jim Harbaugh in the offseason. And it was such a good Jim Harbaugh impersonation where he's like kind of bumped in. It takes Harbaugh, I think, a second to, the neurons got to fire. Who am I looking at? Who am I talking to? And then it dawned on him, and Darnold does it like, hey, looking good, man. Looking good. Look at you. He's like patting his shoulders. Looking. It was a hilarious impression. Jim Harbaugh, he's a gift that keeps on giving. And have you ever wondered what it's like to be Derwin James, pretending to be Derwin James?
I wouldn't mind to be pretending Justin Herbert to be Justin Herbert.
It's not a bad life if you can get it, man. Wait, you talk about $50 million a year quarterback in Los Angeles and Madison Beer?
Did you sample any Madison Beer over the weekend?
I did not sample any Madison Beer over the weekend.
Okay, you have a project this week.
Still on my to-do list before the season begins. I'm all in. If I need to become a Madison Beer P1 to get him to win a playoff game, I'll do whatever it takes, okay?
Yeah.
Do whatever it takes.
I don't think that would be a stretch for you.
I don't think so. I think I can accomplish that. Let's get to, there is your cafe. Thank you very much, ladies and gentlemen. Let's get to the first scrimmage of the fall camp for Oregon. What are the takeaways of it? And Dan Lanning with a pretty funny quote afterwards. Takeaways from the scrimmage, the guys who stood out, how's the offensive line looking, and Dan Lanning audio. That is next on The Fan.
I'm Susie Welch, the host of Becoming You, a podcast where I help you stop living by default and start living by design. Listen to Becoming You wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, we're still arguing about Damian Lillard. What ifs? Josh Allen, does he get enough criticism? Welcome back in, everybody. Happy Monday to you. Hope you had a great weekend. I'm going to do a slight punt. Just a slight, let's do a Blazers and kick the can down the road to the next segment. I will get to the Ducks spring game reaction. And a bit of fun audio for Dan Lanning, who did not intentionally, I don't think he went in with the goal of saying this in his press conference, but it turned into
Now, this is one of those things that just pops into your head.
How does it not, right?
But you...
I don't think they're going to
have... You haven't gotten it down.
No, I don't think they're going to have the rights to probably play theirs, because they do that like fall camp documentary stuff that they do. They probably won't have the rights nor want to use the artist that's involved in it. But if they found a way to splice that quote with highlights of the first scrimmage with the song, chef's kiss. It'd be glorious, because it is a great song. Don't get me wrong. Let's go to college football. We'll get to college football, by the way, again in the 8:45 segment, where Ryan Harlan's going to join us to talk about Oregon State camp. If you missed that, I teased that earlier. And then the AP poll comes out at 9 o'clock this morning. We get to react to it live on the air. I'll read all 25 teams off. But I got two other bits of that we kind of went long there in the cafe, couldn't get to in college football. Look, I get it that this guy's the king. I get it that this guy is – he maybe just had the most successful – just did the most successful coaching job or performance that we've ever seen in the history of sports. That's the conversation that he is in. So before I say anything else, I want people to know, flowers have been given. We fully acknowledge how good he is and how talented he is and how smart he is.
You witnessed his brilliance firsthand.
Thank you. That being said,
however,
this behavior is starting to drive me insane. And it, like, every time I see one of these clips, I start screaming. And here is Kurt Cignetti. So they're doing these Big Ten Network camp check-ins.
Camp tours.
They go into a camp tour, talk to some coaches, players.
I believe they were at Eugene last week, right?
They did Eugene last week. They've done, I think they did the Huskies. I've seen them.
Because they got to be
Michigan
done
one.
While they're doing camp before they get into game week one prep.
They're basically doing it on a day-by-day basis. There's a new camp hit, Michigan State, right? So I've been watching a bunch of these just to try and figure out some stuff. I'm watching the Indiana one. They stopped by Indiana at the end of last week. And I hear this, and I think, oh, God.
Bloomington's lovely this time of year.
It is. Yeah, it hasn't started snowing yet. Here is Kurt Cignetti. So there was the idea of them scheduling. I don't know if you know this or you're aware of this. What state does Indiana play football in?
Indiana.
Thank you. What other prominent program plays in Indiana? Anybody else prominent play in Indiana? Who could it be? Who could it be in state game? Maybe a team that punked them in the playoffs 2 years ago and dominated them.
Yeah.
Maybe that. Oh, that's right.
They're off doing their own thing.
South Bend is also in Indiana, which is where the Notre Dame Fighting Irish plays. Now you have two powers at B in Indiana.
It's not Purdue.
It's, well, Purdue, no offense. Nobody cares. Although their AD would argue differently. Here is Kurt Cignetti, because there's been a push in the thought of scheduling Notre Dame and non-conference for Indiana, because that's a win-win-win-win-win for everybody, right?
Yeah, I'd like to play Notre Dame. Come to our place twice. We'll go up there once since they're not in a conference. I'd love to play them. Be a great in-state game, you know. I guess there's a backstory to that. I don't quite know what it is. So, you know, it is what it is. And Big Ten schedule's pretty darn tough, too.
Look, I appreciate the digs at Notre Dame for not being in a conference. This is a year in particular that their schedule is incredibly man. It just that sometimes the cookie crumbles that way. Let's also not sit here and pretend as if the vast majority of Indiana's year one success was built on the idea of they played literally nobody.
Yeah.
Literally nobody. You didn't play Penn State that year. Penn State was a playoff team.
No kidding.
You didn't play Oregon that year. Oregon was a playoff team. You played Ohio State and you got your teeth ticked in. And if you would have played the other two teams, you would not have been a playoff team. So this idea, like sometimes the schedule gods give, sometimes the schedule gods take away. That's just the world we live in
this sport.
This
is where you need somebody else, some big pocketed whatever to step in, because the problem will always be like Notre Dame. Teams don't want to have a true road game of that significance. This one's not hard to solve. Indianapolis, where the Colts play, put it in week one, let's go.
Play on a neutral side if you want, or play one there, play one here. This is the rhetoric and the thought process that there is not a debate that exists that college football is significantly the most second popular sport in America.
Yes.
And it's not even a close contest. The NFL will be king and it dominates everything and 10 million people watch a preseason game. Nothing will ever touch it. There is then a gap. Then it's college football solidified in the number two spot. Then there is a massive gap. And you get to the NBA,
else.
Major League Baseball,
and that is
UFC.
Year to year, who's trending up, who's trending down.
What's the championship matchup? Like
exactly.
Spurs and Knicks, great ratings. Other years, it's not great. Baseball, you get a Yankees-Dodgers, the numbers are good. Other years, you get a Brewers versus the Rays, it might not be the most watched World Series of all time.
And then something else will happen. You know, Tiger starts winning everything, and he's a phenomenon, and all of a sudden golf takes on more importance than it normally does. And
I just,
stuff like that.
This is the thought process. Like, there's this push of, like, how do we make more money? How do we make the sport more compelling? Like, that's all that I feel like people think about that
the
are at the top of the sport.
The conferences have to cede control and schools of setting their own schedules to a higher body.
Yes, you need to mandate this as a conference. That's the biggest problem. And this is where the Big Ten SEC debate's going to go on. Oregon's in the Big Ten. I don't feel any pride with Big Ten. That's stupid.
Whatever.
It's the Big Ten. I don't care. This like the SEC absolutely trumps them in this argument that they have finally gone to the 9-game conference schedule.
Yes.
Long overdue, but thank you for correcting
the wrong
SEC.
One other Power 4 school.
And you have to play a Power 4 school in non-conference. Everybody does in a conference.
Then if they would just set the precedent of you cannot play an FCS school.
Which I would love.
Which would be great.
Here are the first 5 games on Indiana's schedule this year. And answer me. So that, by the way, you play 12 regular season games.
Right.
This is literally almost half of your schedule. How many of these games will you watch or keep an eye on? Or just look at the final score and go, yep. North Texas at home. Howard at home. Western Kentucky at home. Northwestern at home. At Rutgers. Those are their first 5 games. How many of those will you be interested in watching?
The only curiosity factor, and I believe it is the Big Ten opener for both, would be Northwestern.
Okay.
And that's more because Chip Kelly's the Northwestern OC.
Aiden Childs is their quarterback? Sure. That's a Friday night game, if I'm not wrong.
Something
it's a
like
weeknight
that.
Game.
That's simply a curiosity factor of, okay, what does this look like?
Right.
Versus, you know.
This is where they are the defending champs. They just had a coach do something that would have been unthinkable for our entire lifetime.
They need to lose the Howard game, and that could be at Lucas Oil Stadium against Notre Dame.
Yes, and this is where, I can't. This is going to make me feel a little dirty. I'm actually going to stand up for Notre Dame a little bit here. Notre Dame in the years to come, they have years where they're playing in 20. Now, this is, again, 2029. This is the way college scheduling works. They have Alabama and Texas on the schedule.
Well, that's because when everybody else gets into their conference schedules, they are left with minimal. They got
it's harder
the
to
service
do
the, academy.
As the year goes on.
They have the 5 games against the ACC, but we know
some
year
years
to year,
it's harder, some years it's
one
easier.
One or two teams of significance in the
My
ACC.
My point just simply being they have scheduled home and homes with Texas A&M, with Miami, with Texas, with Alabama.
Well, they know for them
Auburn.
After they got left out of the playoff a couple of years ago. That they have to have a couple. If they only have one of those opportunities and they blow it, they're screwed.
Yeah.
So they have to have multiple opportunities against a team that's expected to be a top 10 worthy team.
Yes.
Because if they don't win, they got to have multiple opportunities. And if they lose them all, then they're right. out. But right. whatever.
As we saw what happened last yeah. year, they weren't in the college football playoff. I just, like, this guy's a genius. I get it. He's a great coach. There's a part of me that chuckles at it. Like, yeah, Notre Dame should be in a conference, and I agree with that sentiment.
Well, don't
like,
go 2-for-1. Just
this,
stop.
That's where, like, just stop it. Like, we'd love to play Notre Dame. That's all. That's the
then
answer
go
here.
Go play them.
Go play the damn game, because you play nobody in non-conference for the next half of a decade, and you are the defending national champions in a sport, and you are the most talked about, like, oh, my God, did Indiana just do that? And I have next to zero interest in watching you until the month until it's yeah. November. Next to zero until we're halfway through the season, and you go, and then I'm not even that interested. You go on the road to Nebraska in week six. You should kick the ass out of Nebraska in week six, but at least that's the first time that I'm like, all right, tough place to play. It's a decent level of talent. I know they're going to smoke them, but I'll keep an eye on that game. They're going to win their first five games yes. by five touchdowns in each game, and you will learn nothing about them.
And I hope they do, because, you know, he's gamed the system. And it will further exemplify why the system needs to be corrected.
Yes, you should not be able to manipulate. This isn't a tax system. It's sports,
exactly.
man. This isn't a write-off.
So now I'm tired of Cignetti, like, constantly bringing it, like,
yeah.
telling me how smart he is.
Right.
No, you don't
you want
need
him to have some humble pie?
Anymore.
You want him to have some humble pie this year? Are you rooting for or against Indiana this year? Because I know where I'm
rooting
at.
Against them.
You're rooting against them? The Cinderella fun cute story is over for you?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you don't need to be so snide yeah. with it.
Yeah. I certainly have personal reasons.
I want on the field them to make a mockery of it, because I think that will draw more attention to the system. The scheduling system needs to be fixed.
Yes.
And the more heat that they can put on the conferences.
Right.
Then the better.
Yeah, this will hold true, and hold me accountable for this. Oregon has not had a lot of options to schedule non-conference. They just scheduled, who do they schedule for next year?
Teams don't want to come to Eugene
Coastal
anymore.
Carolina, who they just scheduled a random game.
Sac State,
that's who it was, thank you. And that's stupid, it's ridiculous, and I hate that my program is scheduling games like that.
Well, especially now with all of the travel.
Yes.
Like ACC teams or whatever, they're like, I don't want to make another West Coast trip because now I have two of them
it's
on
harder
my
to
schedule or
yes.
whatever.
You might have to play them both, or you play one of them at least on the road, and Miami's got to come.
And they know how tough it is, you know.
If Dan Lanning ever has a quote like this, like, they have an open non-conference date, and he's like, why would we play somebody tough? We just want to get, you know, there's no point. The SEC doesn't do it. I will criticize him just as hard. The college football is the second most popular sport in America. This is one of the things that will always hold the sport back, is that there are weekends and stretches on the calendar in which interesting things don't necessarily happen on paper going into the weekend. You can end up with an upset or a surprise up, you know, oh my God, I can't believe that happened. But the enthusiasm going into the weekend isn't great because you have the defending national champions playing Howard in week two. And that sucks, man. And he can be as aggressive and arrogant as he wants as a coach. The scheduling stuff drives me nuts, and we need to hold him accountable to that, because it's embarrassing for Indiana and for the sport. Let's stick in college football. Oregon scrimmage over the weekend. Some Dan Lanning audio, some takeaways, and then we'll dive into the NFL coming up the top of the hour. Back after this, 105.1 FM, The Fam. Welcome back in. Now we're yelling about Kurt Cignetti. Fun show today, man. Everybody's hot and bothered. I love it. I love getting outraged and yelling about stuff. This point I agree with. I've been debating with listener Damian Lillard stuff. This point I agree with. Kurt Cignetti slowly becoming one of my favorite coaches. Head coaches with personalities, a lot of ours. Lost art in today's generation of sports. And the Indiana process went well, being in Wisconsin, Purdue, Ohio State, Alabama, and Oregon for the last five games. I don't know why Wisconsin and Purdue are in that conversation, because I think most teams, unless you're the Huskies, could beat Wisconsin last year. It's not criticizing the schedule. I think you're conflating two different points. What I will also acknowledge, though, is your point on him being a personality is 100% spot on. Like, we need more big personalities in the sport. I think he's great for college football in that regard, and sharing his opinions and all that. I think he's robbing his fans and college football fans of compelling matchups and games that people will be interested in. If you just threw a random, like, you don't have to play somebody great, but if you just Indiana on the road at, I don't know, West Virginia in week two, just to throw a random team out there, they're going to kick the crap out of West Virginia. You should. You're the defending national champions. But it's at least a game on paper that I go into the weekend thinking, oh, let's see how Indiana does this weekend. Instead, they play three teams in which it doesn't matter how they show up or how they perform, because they will win all those games with four touchdowns because they're all so inferior. So nobody's questioning his ability to coach or to win championships or any of that. It's just the idea of this like race to the bottom. Let's make it as easy as humanly possible and pretend as if Notre Dame is the only team who ever plays a favorable schedule when Indiana literally 2 years ago played nobody in non-conference. They only played one team with a pulse in the Big Ten all year, and that was the sole reason that they were in the college football playoff at the end of the year. And if they had a more difficult schedule in terms of non-conference matchups that he had no control over scheduling, so I will be fair there, and then you had to play, let's say, two other teams near the top of the Big Ten that season. Penn State and Oregon were both playoff teams that year as well. Like, you're a 9-3, 8-4 team, and it's still a great story, but they've certainly benefited from easy scheduling, and that's the point that I'm trying to bring up when we criticize Notre Dame for that. Let's head down to UG. They had their first scrimmage over the weekend. We obviously don't have eyeballs in there, so it's hard to kind of get the full gist on exactly what happens. It's like a CIA black ops site. You're not allowed to have access to it. But a couple of like the little tea leaves that you can read in the aftermath of it, some quotes from players that I found compelling. I'll get to that in a moment. But before, this was pretty funny. Dan Lanning always does his post pressers and doesn't do it every day, but definitely after the scrimmages, he'll go sit down with the media. And he was talking about the leadership and how that's manifesting itself in camp and what these guys are doing and going to the next level and all that. And I thought this one was pretty funny from Lanning on Saturday.
Conditioning speaks for it happens in practice, but times on Saturdays we'll conditioning because guys have a recovery day tomorrow and the guys are right. I think that's a great example of guys saying, man, we just went through an entire scrimmage. My body's telling me no, right? But my, you know, my mind is telling me, hey, right? You know the song, right? That's what these guys are doing. They're pushing for more, right? It's the other way around, obviously, in the song, but you get the idea.
My body's telling me, yeah.
He had it playing.
He
in
had
his
it
head.
Going that way.
And then it just
I knew it was. This just, is the way it's going to go. So close. Yeah. Look, again, it's hard to have big takeaways. One thing that I will. That I continue to hear, and I think you've seen some clips from this and all that. Like, there was Bree Amaranthus was down there talking to players, and I don't know if this is before the scrimmage or after the scrimmage, but I saw one of the clips of her talking to Bear Alexander, one of the returning defensive linemen.
Yes.
And one of these themes is like, and I brought this up a week or two ago, you know, a year ago at this point, we were not talking about Jordan Davison.
Nope.
We were not talking about De'Aaron Hill. Brandon Finney, if you were a Duck fan, you knew of his name in recruiting, but he wasn't even
but
the
you
most.
Had no idea.
He didn't know he's going to be that level of impact player, right? And so this idea of like, who is it going to be? What is that group of guys going to look like? How deep is that group? And how many of those guys can ultimately end up having impacts on this team? And that's one thing that I just continue to be excited about. I saw some Kenyon Barner stuff over the weekend, a guy who's actually had eyeballs in practice and been able to go watch. Bear Alexander was asked, who are the players, the young players that are making the biggest impact so far? And the first, like just off the cuff, the first two names that he threw out were the big two offensive linemen who are both freshmen. Big Manny, Hanacho, I think is how you say his last name, and Tommy Tofi. They are both true freshmen. Tommy got in there in spring ball. Big Manny didn't get there until the summer. And so there was this thought maybe he'd be a little bit further behind. But they continue, according to everybody who's had a chance to watch him, Kenyon Barner again echoed this sentiment, saying he was at a couple of spring practices and saw Tommy Tofi go through some drills and some practice for the first time. His first spring in college football, by the way, the kid should be a senior in high school, essentially. He's hanging out playing college football as an 18-year-old. And he was holding his own, and he looked awesome. And there's the sentiment out there that maybe both those guys can push for some early playing time, or at least in the back half of the year, get a chunk of playing time. And this is where it's vital, is because you know at some point this year, and Oregon went through it last year, every team's going to go through it. It's a physical sport. It's a violent sport. Guys are going to get hurt. Oregon had to go into the Iowa game last year, and they had to rely on depth on the offensive line. I think both tackles missed that game and maybe a guard. You went into the USC game, a game later in the year. Now, they're candy-ass soft, so I wasn't too worried about it, but Oregon's offensive line, again, your starting left tackle was out of the game. And I remember that being a thing going into the week and then watching warmups down on the field at Autzen. Everybody's, where's Isaiah World? Is he going to play? And you had to start Fox Crater. So you had to lean on your depth at some point. And Oregon's depth was able to step up and get the job done. Well, now you lose these extra pieces, right? You're replacing almost your entire starting offensive line. So you got new names that are filling up. What's the depth going to look like this year? It's really encouraging to hear all the positive things about those two freshman offensive linemen, because that is the bread and butter of how you win at the highest level in this sport. Indiana, the primary reasons outside of obviously Fernando Mendoza being great, their defensive line was filthy all year, and their offensive line did a fantastic job of protecting their quarterback, and they can run the football when they needed to. And so Oregon's offensive line, and I've talked a lot about them because they certainly deserve their flowers. There's also the other side of the coin where at times in their biggest games, they have not played well. And so can you take another step this year? I don't know the answer to that question. We won't know the answer to that question until probably not until the end of September against USC or maybe against Ohio State in November. But the fact that the two freshmen are starting to stand out is a breath of fresh air for Duck fans. Maybe those guys are ready for an impact a little bit sooner than maybe we thought. That should be music to your ears. Other than that, Dan Lanning was very complimentary of Dylan Raiola in the spring game. He was asked specifically about him, and he's been through, you know, kind of his name's been drugged through the mud because of the Nebraska comments a while back. Said he looked good. He's grown leaps and bounds from where he was. And just the other freshman, Jalen Lott, who's had some highlight plays we've seen on social media. Jet Washington is a guy in the secondary. So a lot of these young candidates getting to go through this for the first time. It'll be fun to see, especially early on when you play Boise State and then Oklahoma State and then Portland State in non-conference. Not the hardest run. Wish there was a more compelling game in there, although I think Oklahoma State will be competitive and they're certainly jacked up for that game. Of which of those freshmen can have an impact early on, it could end up changing the course of Oregon season. Their first scrimmage of fall camp was on Saturday, and it's fun, man. We're almost there, dude. We are almost there. 2 weeks away, or about just shy of 3 weeks away from their season
September
beginning.
19 days to...
Here we go, baby.
Ducks Beavers openers.
Let's go, baby. It's almost here. It's right around the corner. We got a lot to get to in the third hour of the show. We just did a look check in with Oregon and a funny Dan Lanning quote. We will do the same with Oregon State coming up 8:45. Ryan Harlan's going to join us. We'll get an update on what's going on in there. They had a player arrested over the weekend. Ruh-roh. A couple of the guys rejoined the football team. So we'll talk about that. What's he hearing? What's he seeing out of Oregon State football camp going into their opener against Houston? Let's start though in the National Football League. Are we ready to crown this guy? Have we found the next Tom Brady? Let's start there on the fam.